My Mind on Sports is created to make a difference. We believe we can do just that by bringing objectivity back into sports journalism. We are in a time where good reporting, common sense, and objectivity are routinely thrown aside for the prospect of being the first to break a story. Here at My Mind on Sports, we care more about being right than being the first in regards to a story. We want to be known as a reliable media outlet for fans, as well as accessible. Follow us on Twitter, visit our Facebook page, Instagram, etc. We're here for you, so please don't be shy about asking us any questions or including us in your sports discussions and debates. That's what we're here for. We're a group of aspiring broadcasters and writers. We look to perfect our craft, and we can't do that without your help. Please be encouraged to share your thoughts on our work. We can't get better without you. MyMindOnSports.com. My Mind on Sports, where objectivity reigns.
Whether it's football fields or basketball courts, still got my mind on sports. Freshest kicks and flashiest shorts, still got my mind on sports. Mind on sports.
I'm dreaming in hope.
It's living a dream.
From the beginning, all I had was some ambition. Listen, let my thoughts flow through the pen and paper with hopes that they listen. Listen, but the picture was never cave. Worked hard, felt slave to the industry. The enemy, my inner me became focused on making hits.
I lost myself. Pressure started to hit. Really off myself.
When you busy trying to fit in, you forget to stand out. They wanna be in the circles. You make the circle, they stand round. The exact difference between a starter and star. They just play the position. We reinventing the laws. Your laws. God forgives me for all of my sinning. They tell me that my dreams are gonna leave me dead or locked up in prison. Prison. Well, if I die, remember me like Pac and Biggie. If I'm locked, remember me like Max. I'm really feeling like it's more to this rap shit. To my niggas that it's more than just this trap shit. But I ain't knocking the hustle, go and get it by any.
Good evening, welcome to My Mind on Sports on Bliss.fm. Your host, Wilson Tarpey Jr., I'm joined tonight. We got a packed house tonight. You know, Zell's back. You know, he got freed from work this time, you know. They held him in captivity last week.
Man, I don't want to hear that. You took two weeks off of your birthday, bro.
Nah.
You was partying. I heard you was living in the local.
Per sources on Twitter, his birthday was kind of...
that's exactly what it was.
Per the Twitter timeline, his birthday, you know, I did a little, not too much snooping, but birthday was... He had an old person's birthday. You know what I'm saying? Celebrated.
Went to a bar. And that was it.
Went to the bar. And went on.
That's how you celebrate 25.
Man, as long as grandma cards come in the mail with that check in there, that's a great birthday for me. That's
y'all could be here to see the twinkle in his eyes about grandma's check. It must be a lovely check.
Is a check your age?
No, that's the grandma here. She give me whatever age. my grandma in North Carolina sends that check. Yeah. Love them both.
Grandma back home, she
do you?
She won't hesitate to send me that 26.
Like, do you? Because it sounds like, man, one's a little higher than the other in your grandma rankings.
It all even out.
We gonna get into the grandma rankings and not today. They even, listening? Even, nah.
I know one of them is.
You know your pops probably listening, so you know
he definitely listening.
See, you gonna spit the beans on who the favorite is or not?
Snitch.
Okay. You okay. Know who it is. Hey, pops, you better. Hey, next time you see Zell, tell him to break down off that chest.
You get one too.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, look, y'all in it together then, huh? All right, so. Zells, it's good to have you back.
Good to be
Rob,
back.
Rob, you know, you're always here. You know, we're going to get into your weekend in a little while.
Yes,
and Jamal, what's going on with you?
Back in effect.
All right. And joining us tonight, friend of the program, AJ Thompson, marketing agent, athlete, relations manager of Inclusive Inc. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, nothing much, man. Appreciate you guys having me in the studio today. You know, I've been meaning to get up here for a long time and finally up here, so I'm looking forward to enjoying the show with you fellas.
For sure.
Yes, yes.
I'm just here to laugh.
We're happy to have you here, too, you know. Sometimes,
and
you know,
you're a Redskins fan, correct?
Yeah, diehard Redskins fan, so. And build a lot of relationships with guys on the team and also represent several players on the squad. So
I knew it was something. I got a good vibe when you walked in. I said something about this man.
I knew
real quick, Rob, before you start.
The hell if I can.
One, two, three, four. Go ahead, what'd you say?
I said the hell if I can.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
There he go muting people.
Hey, look, already, man, you got to behave today.
I mean, hell,
you can be yourself next week again.
Listen, when your team don't make the playoffs or nothing, if your team
don't win the Super Bowl, you sitting on the couch right next to us. Have a seat.
Yeah, you right.
They just put a little more beat on their bodies. We was like, we just going to go ahead and
I'll bring the bean dip. You know what I mean? I'll bring the seven layers.
We there. Our party been started.
Seven layers? So you ain't skipping on the dip, huh?
You can't skip on the dip.
All right, so since we already get into what happened this weekend, sure everybody was watching. If you weren't watching, you should be ashamed of yourself. You know, it was good playoff football.
It was kind of hard for me to watch. I had two little ankle biters pulling at me, so but I did get in what I can get in. So
giggity goo.
Oh man, I fought the maturity levels right there to say something. Maturity one. All right, so the first game. Green Bay and Seattle.
I know no such maturity.
We know. Rob?
What up?
He wants you to talk about the Green Bay-Seattle game. I'm sure you've seen it, you're a Green Bay Packers fan.
Go ahead.
I just figured you might have seen the game.
I was going to give you first.
Just take it on the chin like I took it on the chin. Take it on the chin.
I mean, yeah. See, look, I'm not an irrational fan, so you can come at me all you want.
Okay, I got a question. So what do you think about your coach? You think he was kind of like scared?
All right, so here's the deal with that whole –
like, I thought I didn't have like a soft question to start with.
I don't care. Here's the deal with that whole issue, man. A lot of people harping on Mike, and Mike McCarthy is kind of hopping on himself about passing up on the two field goals in the first half. What do we have? We had five turnovers and we got 6 points off of them. Now, when you first look at that, five turnovers, 6 points off five turnovers, that is atrocious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just terrible. But I can't fault the man for taking the points where it is. Because if you're going to use the argument that every point counts and you should have went for the 6 points on one of those damn fourth and ones from the 1 yard line or fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, then you got to look at it like this. You're playing the top defense in the league. It's coaching convention. Like, it's conventional thought. Fourth down, if the game's not on the line right now, if it's not dire, then you go for it. And how do we know that? Because whenever somebody goes for it, we get excited more than our usual excitement because we don't see it happen that often. So it's normal. It's coaching convention. So if you're going to chastise a man, You gotta look at it from the other way. If he would have went for it and then failed, like yeah, the Seahawks would have had to go 99 yards. And yes, Russell Wilson was having he was in a running for the Jack Delhomme Award, just the worst playoff game ever. But nevertheless, like you just can't pass that up in a game where it was. What was it? Before it was 19. Before it was 16-0, and then 19-7. Like that's not a big lead. That's not a huge lead.
But look,
so in a game like this, you got to take the points.
Yeah, you just got to take the points.
I'm gonna let him finish.
If I can interject real quick, I know I'm a guest of the show.
Talk to him.
Go ahead. Everything is on the line. You work all year to get to this point to put the game away. You do not put your foot on the brakes. You have a strong offensive line. You have a fullback that always scores at the
goal.
Yeah. You also have a power running back, Eddie Lacy.
Who was
no way that you two times at the 1 yard line, you don't try one time.
All right, that's revisionist history. It's easy for us to say that right now. Had that happened in the inverse and he would have failed, then it's Lacy you're playing tried. The number one defense in the league. You got the game on the line. You can't just, you got to take the points. So, every point matters.
So take this. On Seattle's side, did they not go for a fake field goal? That ended up resulting in a touchdown.
And what was our reaction? When he went for that, it gave them momentum. What was our reaction? We were surprised.
How do you not put it all on the line?
We were taken aback by that.
For a win or go home.
And I guess this is what everybody's kind of saying is like, it was Pete Carroll attacked it like they weren't the favorites. He was like, you know, today's the end. It's the day of nothing.
It is. That's exactly what it is. Okay, and he's praised for that. It's like,
no, but
he's praised for that. It's like the Super Bowl when Sean Payton came out and you guys didn't get it on the two-yard try.
Your job as a coach is not to be conservative.
Okay, no, your job as a coach is to win the game, and you win the game by being conventional. That's the conventional thought. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have went for it. I'm saying that I understand it. I understand the philosophy. We're just playing the results right now. If we're just looking at it and saying you shouldn't have kicked the field goal.
With Russell Wilson having to go 99 yards, if you don't get it, I feel like with a game, if it's win or go home, it's win or go home in the playoffs. This ain't no series. It's not basketball. It's win or go home. You have to put it all as a coach. You got to put it all on the line, and that type of, and you didn't, and it bit you.
And even look past those two 1 yard line plays. They ran the ball with like 4 minutes left, like what, two or three times in a row?
They got it, you got real conservative and thought you put the game away.
Exactly.
You even probably told that to your players because no way Morgan Burnett should have got the interception
and slid. I thought that was the dumbest thing.
He could have gained 15 to 20 yards and automatically put him in field goal range. And it would have ended the game. Because, I mean, Crosby is a good field goal kicker. No way that he couldn't have got 15 more yards on returning that. And already put them at the 30 or something. But coaches must have told him on the sideline, yeah, hey, anybody this. Make a turnover, just go down. Mm-hmm. We got this game under wraps.
No. That's not a coaching decision. At the very least, it's not a coaching decision with 4 minutes and some odd seconds left to just catch the field goal and go down, or to catch intercept the ball and then just go down. Especially go down like midfield, it's way too much time. Like, that's him thinking that he was smart and thinking that he was doing the team a favor, which ended up being a disservice. I can't blame that on the coach. Like, it's far too many things. It was a myriad of issues that had to have gone wrong, in that 4 minute sequence for us to point to one thing. And it's like, that was an idiotic move, but I can't blame that on Mike McCarthy.
That wasn't on the coaches. That was his instinct. He thinking that the game was...
No, he had two players tell him to go down, one.
Julius Peppers told him to go down, one.
I don't understand that.
I understand the mode of thinking is like, all right, he got the pick. We don't want you to fumble. You're not a running back. You're not used to having the ball in your hand. Go down. Our offense is going to run the clock out.
But you cannot bet on that.
Okay, look.
You just can't bet on that.
My issues with the coaching is this. Being a Niner fan and watching the Seahawks games, and I understand what you're saying about being conventional, that's why teams lose to the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Being conventional gets you L's. Being conventional leaves them in the games. You can't be conventional. They're one of those teams where they thrive because they're unconventional. Yeah. They don't care. Nope. And you're not going to be a team that doesn't care if you care. It's just not going to work.
It wasn't going to work against the Seahawks.
Even when they failed, up front, they chose to go for field goal. If they tried to get it, I wouldn't have been mad. I would have been perfectly fine. You went out trying to land haymaker after haymaker, and I'd have been quiet. But that's the same thing Green Bay did.
Dangerous.
No, they were trying not to lose.
I understand what you're saying, but this is dangerous.
But I don't care. This is my thing. You haven't beat neither one of those two teams by being conventional. You did it We should have lost it.
But they were winning the game by being conventional.
No, but this is
like what let's not lose track of that.
No, you were winning the game, but it's not gonna last. Those defenses aren't gonna just keep giving points up out the sky. It doesn't work like
Russell
that.
Wilson.
And there was games when Green Bay, San Francisco, Green Bay was up and they stayed in the game because you went to conservative and San Francisco was gonna wait. And that's another unconventional thing. Atlanta lost to San Francisco because you remember that game Matt Ryan and them were cooking in the first half? Went up big and were like, oh, we just gonna run the clock out. And they didn't do anything with their lives again.
And that's, for the rest of the game. And that's why people hate Pete Carroll, because in games he's always gonna score on you. It don't matter if he's up by 40. You gotta keep putting them points up. Because I mean at the end of the day, you just never really know.
You keep the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, just watching the game, it just felt like there was an imbalance on the coaching staff, because that last touchdown that Seattle scored, why the hell are you running a zero coverage? Yeah. Like, no safety up? Why are you blitzing everybody?
You had two safeties all game. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Two safeties all game.
And you call a zero coverage? Like,
and you shut the dude down.
And you already just gave up like a 35-yard pass, and then you gave away the game winner because you left your man on the island. Like, so it's just a weird game.
So
overall.
With that said, the question now is, how long are the Packers planning on keeping Don Capers?
I mean, I think
because that's been a common denominator. That's been a common
He's a great coordinator.
Hold up. You point to the year that would provide evidence to the claim that Don Capers is a great coordinator.
Okay, real quick with the Don Capers thing. I mean, that's great and everything. I think Dom Capers, sure, there's been mishaps on the defense. Once again, this is another game where certain somebody had a pedestrian game and gets away with this scot-free. Very pedestrian game. 3 points in the second half is inexcusable by a powerful offense. I don't care what's going on in life. Yeah, you got 19, but you know you had to keep scoring. You weren't going to run the clock out against that team.
You're playing the
season. You know what I'm saying?
And, it's like 3 points isn't enough. You didn't attack Richard Sherman with one arm.
Well, see, I went to attack him because I think he was faking it. So I went to attack him anyway.
No.
I just went to attack
him. Have you seen that hit? Cam hit the hell out of him.
No, I know, but all I'm saying is that dude's ball skills is, I ain't messing with him. But I would have kept running the ball.
What are you going to do with one arm?
I would have ran at him. Nah. I probably wouldn't have thrown it. I would have ran at him.
I would have had him run in and out, and he's gone. Like, that's touchdown. Because they don't have another arm.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Earl Thomas was half out with one shoulder.
Yeah, they didn't even try him. The whole time he was injured, they didn't go that way.
So look, if we're going to do that with the whole Seahawks being injured deal, like my man came in, like Aaron Rodgers is skipping the Pro Bowl right now for an injury.
Don't care.
No, you can't do that. You can't put the spotlight on Richard Sherman and say, you got to go at Richard Sherman. You have a man out there on the island and he's holding his arm like a sling. You got safety in Earl Thomas and he's hurt. He may or may not have a concussion.
They play scared. Aaron's a G for playing. I'm not mad at Aaron.
We understand.
I'm just talking about his. Okay, so look, you remember when they were up in the first half, right? Eddie Lacy's cooking. You got the turnover, and they threw that stupid pass. That was a pick that gave them life and kept them in the game, and there was no reason to pass. Why? Put them away. They put you away. Put them away. It's stupid stuff. As a fan of a team with Greg Roman, I know what stupid looks like. That was stupid. That was coaching. That was just idiotic. And Aaron Rodgers, bless his heart, he can't do everything by himself. Lord knows Jordy Nelson didn't help him with them drops, them horrible routes. Yeah. Randall Cobb went invisible again. So it's not all on Aaron, but I'm just simply saying, like, that offense for 3 points, that's horrible. I'm not going to just get mad at Dom Capers the whole time.
And I just can't. I think this game definitely is going to have the Packers not having faith in the coach anymore. The players don't have faith in him no more just because he called the plays. So at the end of the day, you know, are you going to bust your ass this whole offseason again and think you're going to get to that same position and trust your coach? Nah, like those players definitely don't believe in him right now. You can tell from the press conference with Aaron Rodgers, everybody else they've been talking to, you can tell like there's some type of disconnect. I don't know if you changed the head coach or what, but
Mike McCarthy's not like, going anywhere.
I mean, of course, it's Green Bay, so it's hard to, you know, bring in somebody else from, you know, wherever to coach, and it's too late in the season to really make that change. But it's just like that might have been his last run.
Look, it's okay. It's you okay. can't get to an NFC championship game and be afforded the merit of saying we don't trust our coach because he calls the wrong plays. Well, he called enough good plays to get you to the NFC championship
yeah,
game.
Okay.
It's not the same in a win and a loss. You can call enough good plays, but enough good plays and a little bit of bad plays can make a big difference.
Okay, but do you realize that the gap between a win and a loss in that game was 6 points? Like it wasn't the indie game, but we can look at the indie game.
They didn't get blown out.
You're telling me at the 7 mark of the fourth quarter, you weren't in your house or wherever you were watching the game celebrating? Anybody that was a Packers fan was celebrating.
Yeah, I was thinking I was chilling. Yeah,
so and so it wasn't 6 points.
I've seen it before. I've seen it before because I was like, watch something happen.
Okay, but that was I just got a sequence of the most improbable events that you will witness.
I've been there, done that.
What about the onside? What about the onside drop?
That was a sequence of the most improbable events that you will ever witness.
Hey, look, I agree with you to a degree. Like, I'm with you. But at the same time, if you took care of business, you're not in that position. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I can rock with that. Like, exactly. The game was lost before the Bostic drop.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not looking at the Bostic drop. The Bostic drop, in my eyes, is totally irrelevant. It was lost way before the Bostic drop.
I thought it was lost in the first half.
To me.
All them points that was left off the board.
I'm not going to give that any merit. I'm looking at the entirety of the game. It was lost in like the last 5 minutes.
I'm going to.
But I'm not going to blame a coach for being a coach and doing the coach thing.
I'm just talking about, all I'm saying is this, that's like when
Belichick played Manning a few years back and he went for it on fourth goal. He went for it on fourth down. And the thought was, well, how can you go for it on fourth down if you're going to give the ball back to Peyton Manning? It's like, it's if you work, you are a genius. Everybody's going to praise you. And if it doesn't, you're the idiot of the week.
I wouldn't be calling anybody an idiot for going for it against Seattle. Like, my whole thing is this.
Exactly. And that's what you get paid for.
If they went balls to the wall and fell short, I wouldn't be mad at anybody.
You get paid to even be super like, smart.
You tried to slay the giant.
Okay, you may not have. But everybody else is going to call Mike McCarthy an idiot.
No, I'm calling you an idiot now.
That's where I'm at.
Like if he went the other way with it and just went balls to the wall, whatever he called, I'd be quiet. Like, you did everything you possibly could to put them away. Because now we're going to sit here and look at it. The past 3 years, you pretty much lost.
Okay, and the counterfactual,
the same team.
Okay, and the counterfactual you're is seven against is you're both not of going them. To. Okay, and the counterfactual is you still didn't do everything that you could to put them away because you went for it instead of taking the points when the points was the easiest thing that you could have done, and now you're deficient of any points as opposed to getting the six.
But my whole thing is this: the sample size is big enough that field goals don't beat them. Like you've seen it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying is if it was one of the things where you know against another team, I'd be like, take the field goals. Against them two defenses, man, go for seven. Because my whole thing is you have to kill because they're going to kill you.
What about
like you're just wasting time.
What about
like
this other game, Jamal?
It's irrelevant. What other game?
I didn't even watch the other game.
I'm over Green Bay.
I didn't even watch the other game. But I can understand, we got to
see how the people feel out there, man. Tweet us at My Mind on Sports.
About Green Bay.
How you feel about it? I know how Rob feels about it. I know how he feels about Green Bay. I know how he feels about the cause or lack thereof from the coaching staff of the Green Bay Packers. But y'all out there, how y'all feel about it? Tweet us at My Mind on Sports. Wilson.
Because all I was going to say is simply like with the Green Bay thing, the only reason I feel that strongly is I felt that way with Roman in the Super Bowl. I felt that way with Roman every time they play Seattle. Is you go in there and you try to be conservative against most teams, it's cool. It works. Against them, you're going home. Like last year, NFC Championship game, Alden strips Russell Wilson. We settled for three. I knew we lost.
All right, and you still – what I need you to understand is that you're saying playing conservative is going to get you kicked out, is going to get you booted out. Going for it would have resulted in the same exact thing.
I don't think so. How your defense was playing and how trash their offense was playing on a one-yard line – they're not really moving the ball in that first half.
They wasn't moving the ball.
In that first half,
okay, but you see how quick. Oh, all right, so you, Like Russell Wilson was having a bad day, but you saw how quick everything changed. You saw how he performed during the last minute.
But that was after Marshawn got going. My whole thing in the first half,
Marshawn could get going at any given time.
But my whole thing is while Darrell Bevell was going full Greg Roman, I would have went for it. Because he was on one for a half. For a whole half of football, he was on something. I don't know what it was. Maybe he was thinking about a new job somewhere. I don't know what's wrong with him. But for you to come out there in the first half and act like Marshawn Lynch isn't back there, you are on something very, very strong. I love Russell Wilson to death.
But to not give that dude the ball.
Nah, hey, Skittles is a wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful candy. You know, but for you to come out there and not, like, while they're tripping, kill them. Because, like you said, it turned around. As soon as they started giving Marshawn the ball in the second half, things went back to normal. Things started to work. But for a full half, I don't know what they thought they were doing. You know, they were on something crazy. I would have tried to kill him. You had a chance to kill him. All them turnovers, try to kill him. You got to slay the dragon. You got to slay him. A lot of teams have done that with the Patriots in the past, too. They get up. They think stuff is sweet. Tom might be on one for a quarter, and then all of a sudden he'd be like, ha-ha, the game's still close. Bye-bye.
Thought it was.
The Ravens game. Remember when the Ravens felt good about that game in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, everything was sweet.
Yeah.
Let's run the ball and, you know, let's play conservative. And Tom was like, ha-ha, go home.
Kill the clock, yeah.
You know, some teams you can't – like, I understand that conventional thinking. It works against 90% of the league.
Long as you
But unfortunately, right now, I'm looking at, the, you know, that team that's on the top of the NFC – conventional ain't the way to get it done. It
won't work against the
Redskins. Conventional just not the way to get it done. Now, when they're not top dog anymore, sure, I won't fault you at all. Mike McCarthy, you got it. I'll leave you alone. But, nah, bro. You did the same thing. Like, we had no business. San Fran 2 years ago, when Cap went crazy, had no business winning that game. They was losing.
181 yards on the ground.
And that was after he started going conservative. Because y'all offense was actually working for a little bit. Then defensive made some adjustments. You ain't scoring no more. And Cap ran like it was Madden. You know? Being conservative doesn't get you anywhere.
Like the 04 Vic on the cover.
Man, he was fast.
Like it was Madden.
Gone.
Game
was gone.
Day 2000.
But real quick about that whole Andrew Luck debacle. Deflated footballs and such.
Did he even show up?
Man, look.
Did he even show up?
First, that game was terrible.
That's what you get for watching it.
That is exactly what I get for watching and being outside of the comfort of my own home to watch it.
You left your house on purpose to watch that?
Look man, I didn't.
Did you pay for anything while you watched?
That I didn't do.
Okay, well, at least that made it kind of better.
Nah, I mean.
I apologize to all of you.
You feel so bad about it.
Anybody who had a party to watch that game, I apologize to you.
It was terrible. And the whole deflated.
I watched Family Guy.
Anybody who hosted that game.
How you bring up deflated footballs? Is that the excuse we're going to use for? Because if you had to play with it, somebody else had to play with it.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a little easier to catch, a little easy. I mean, something.
Rob, what you think about Indianapolis and Brady and them?
I don't even think you're paying attention.
Well, no, I am paying attention. But Jim Harbaugh puts Gatorade in the cereal, which is pretty odd for me. But
he loves he attacks every day with enthusiasm.
That just made me want to get a Gatorade.
Random.
I don't know what to say. That, I'm not surprised. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what? Those Harbaughs are like, they're very, very strange individuals. You're just going to have to take that for what it is. They're just strange individuals. But nevertheless, man, that game. Look, if you was watching Family Guy, I don't blame you, bro. I don't blame you. Like, I was disinterested from the start, but that's just something that I kind of had to watch because we all coordinated. And by we, I really mean, like, y'all, like the rest of the world, because I wasn't on this boat. But y'all all coordinated Andrew Luck a little too soon coming out of Stanford as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Give him his hat with the feather and his robe with a cape and his throne because that's just what it is. And he played terrible. I mean, it is not unlike any other games that he played before, like any of the playoff games that he played before. But my God, he played terrible. And shouts out to the resurgence of Tom Brady because Tom Brady has been on the street for the past 10 years just playing god-awful postseason games. What's up?
Did y'all see the picture of Tom Brady coming into the stadium? He had
Inspector Gadget.
Oh, my.
No, how he looked?
He looked like he was not taking anything from anybody. He looked like he was going for a win.
He was on a mission.
Exactly. He just looked, he looked a little different.
He was just, hey, but look.
Did he have the mugs
there,
on?
If he had to sit there, oh, nah, we ain't get to see. We just saw the trench coat. AJ, what did you think of that game, though?
I didn't even watch it.
Oh, okay. So
after I saw Cribs drop the punt, I was like, game over.
Yo, what happened?
And I literally watched something else. I don't even know what I was watching. Yo, I had to watch a Family Feud.
Yo, I had it, one
just,
of those.
It's just something different about AFC games versus NFC games. It's just like, it's just a dead atmosphere. It's just weird. I don't know.
Well, I think there is something.
Not as entertaining.
Yo, yeah, what the hell? Just,
Jamal.
I was putting my kids to bed. I don't.
Yeah, you should have made them watch the game.
Nah, they
went
right.
My man has a
sleep in 10 seconds.
He does have that Brady Bunch cut. Now I mean that with like really no pun intended, but he has like that real 70s corny little cut to him. He looks like he wear Uggs for men.
He also looks. Look,
but I can't hate on him because he's married to Giselle.
So like there's a
that's cheating. He's cheating the system.
Yeah, I mean
it works, but. Back to the whole point, you know, you were talking about with Andrew Luck, like leading up to that game, all we heard in the media was, you know, he's, you know, the cream of the crop of the young quarterbacks and everything. Yet it seems like everybody just chooses.
Well, no,
he just got another quarterback lesson. That's all that was. He got another quarterback lesson.
Okay, so he can't carry him over the hump. And I think there is some merit to what Jamal was saying about how there's a difference between the NFC and the AFC games, because if you notice it with the NFC, there's been a different, like, this is the first time like somebody has gone back two consecutive years. But in the NFC, there's been a different representative like every year for the past 15 years or so, right? With the AFC, however, it's been the same four cats. It's been the Steelers, the Patriots, the Ravens now, and a Peyton Manning-led team. So, like, that's pretty much it. And everybody, like, there's no parity in the AFC. Everybody else is just, like, it's them. The discrepancy is them up top. And by them, I really mean.
But all week, I was told that I should be prepared for an upset and be looking.
That's because everybody so badly wants to see Andrew Luck do well. They want to see Andrew Luck get the Tom Brady pass. Whereas, if Tom Brady wins, it's all him. It's all him. And if Tom Brady loses like he was doing in the first four games of the season, then it's everybody but him. How come he doesn't have any talent? How come Bill Belichick isn't surrounding him with any talent? But when he wins, he's doing it in spite of no talent. And everybody wants Andrew Luck to have that type of pass, because really the only talent that he has is T.Y. Hilton.
So you're part of the school that think he doesn't have any weapons on offense?
If there is, then you name it.
Definitely. Right, sound
I will like. In a second. Go ahead. You're part of that school. He doesn't have any weapons of offense.
Outside of Ramon Bradshaw, that's been hurt.
I got you. I go through
since
the list.
Week 9 or so.
He doesn't have any weapons of offense.
No, he got weapons. He don't have a running back.
I was just about to say he doesn't have a running game.
But as far as receivers, there's receivers, correct?
He has a few.
His pass catches,
No, Time out.
He has a few.
By he has a few, you mean that you can name some receivers.
I can name all of them. I think that's
the only thing. You can name them. There. Okay,
Hakeem
Nicks.
But honestly, like, Hakeem Nicks is like their fourth option there. Like, it's a good group of pass catchers in Indianapolis.
Okay, just like Tom Brady has always had a good group of pass catchers.
Mm-mm, no, it's legitimately a good group. Yes, there's three tight ends out there. He has one of the best deep threats in the league. You have a couple possession guys. If Hakeem Nicks is your fourth best wide receiver, life isn't exactly bad. That's all I'm simply saying is that whole he doesn't have weapons thing is so far overblown.
The offense is set up to play off of the running game. And, you know, that's why they made that dumb trade for Trent Richardson.
I wouldn't even call that trade dumb.
I mean,
I think at the moment that was a good. At
bro,
the
how?
Moment,
Trent Richardson been trash since he left Alabama.
I was just about to say,
I'll give Trent rookie year. He was a solid running back.
Yeah,
but after that, you can see the decline. He just didn't care to play football no more. It's obvious because he don't go from being.
I might give y'all his rookie year, but
yeah, but. I mean, you just don't make that type of trade for a running back.
For a while, I thought all those Alabama running backs, I didn't want it.
Eddie Lacy. It might be the one.
I mean, but
Eddie Lacy might be the one. Even Mark Ingram had a
had a resurgence this year. He might get comeback player of the year.
Even Lacey coming out of Alabama, they questioned
and
his heart.
And I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Arian Foster.
They questioned him more than they
they questioned him not caring about football at all. That's why he dropped in the draft. Because if we did the draft over, Eddie Lacy, the top 10 pick.
I got a question, though. But if do you think we'd even be talking, Eddie Lacy would have that drop if Eddie Lacy came before Trent Richardson? Because I think Trent kind of messed it up for the rest of the Alabama backs.
Say that again?
I said I think Trent messed it up for the rest of the Alabama backs.
Nah. I mean, at the end of the day, every situation is different.
I mean, TJ Yeldon is still going to go.
He'll go second round because he'll change the pace back. But, I mean, you just have to analyze every situation differently. Because, I mean, it's the same thing. I feel like there's a stigma on Ohio State players. They don't pan out in the league.
That's true.
But you got people raving about Joey Bosa and, you know, I thought, like, even, what's his name, the quarterback that just Jones. I felt like he should have came out because
– Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, the longer that you stay in, the more tape you give these scouts to analyze, you're going to get broken down.
Yeah, he's probably
not gonna
start.
I've had that happen to a client, man. Like, I'll say his name, Macho Harris. He went from being a first-round projected pick junior year, for some reason ended up wanting to stay in school. And what? He got drafted, what, fourth, fifth round?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because the more tape you put on film, the more they could critique him on. So it's just like, I don't know who analyzed him. I know that's off subject, but, yeah.
I mean, I think it's relevant, though.
Definitely relevant.
I think it's definitely relevant. But, nah, I mean, like y'all said, not having a running back hurt them. But his pass catches, some people act like he's throwing it. It's T.Y. Hilton and nobody else. And, like, I don't buy it. Mm. Like, I think, what's it called? They had a great find in Dante Moncrief. Had he not had character issues, he wouldn't have went as low as he did. Dante Moncrief's a very good wide receiver. You're not trying to hit none of it, are you? It's cool. It's cool, though. It's just like when Devontae Adams fell for no reason. And he fell to y'all. He had no reason falling. Neither did Dante Moncrief. Devontae Adams had no business falling to Green Bay in the world at all. Like, the last thing Green Bay needed was that. It's like the fourth option. And that's what
I'm
saying.
You got to understand, Devontae Adams played in the WAC, though. Like, and that's always going to be a stigma. Like I was surprised. I was surprised when, what's old boy from San Diego?
Like, I hear you.
That came from Fresno State.
School, Devontae was considered one of the top wide receivers in that class. For him to fall where he fell is ridiculous.
Okay.
They're not analyzing correctly.
Yeah, but they're still going to factor in his level of competition.
Yeah, but no,
I don't think you look at that.
Like,
at the end of the day, football is football. So take some years ago, you had Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who played at what, Memphis?
Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee. At the end of the day, football is football. Those skills translate over to the next level. It's just about trusting in your coaching staff. To help that person progress.
Yeah, but even then, he's not exactly a slouch in coverage, 4-2 or not. There's a lot of dudes that are track fast but can't cover. Like, DRC is one of the rare ones where he's stupid fast.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good cover guy. You know, the whole gang of Cromarties is kind of talented.
Yeah, so it's just about...
Yeah, there's another one, too.
There's like eight of them.
Staff,
cousins.
Scouting department.
Yeah. It just depends on who, you know, what people value. But every year we go by, you see people fall for no reason, and then you look at the tape and you're like, well, why did he fall?
Mm-hmm. And we're going to see it again this year, for
like,
sure.
Why did you? Like, it just makes no sense. Like, how many of them Georgia Tech guys did have
Ryan Matthews is who I was thinking of. That
well, hard to find that.
Hey, man, you dug deep. What did Ryan do to you?
No, Ryan Matthews is who I was thinking of.
You Google machine for Ryan?
That was the play. Yeah, I just had to. San Diego's running backs. I was trying to. Who the hell came out of Fresno State in 09 or 010, whatever the hell it was?
Oh, Lord. 010, Lord.
We let that one slide.
Where's the rolling? Yeah. Rolling?
I mean, like, look, it's so awkward just to say 10, 11.
That is true.
Like, it's really awkward. Like, who came out of
10?
Who came out of 10?
I'd rather you say 2010, but 010 is like, that's not what we
say. It takes 10 seconds to say 2010. Not even.
Yeah, but see, look, bro, when you lazy, look, I'm a man of efficiency. Like, you got to maximize on the syllables,
man. That wasn't
man.
Efficient.
It was.
That was not efficient.
Old 10?
All you did was cut off the two. That was it.
2010. See, that's too many syllables.
If you can put that third number, you could put the fourth. Like, stop it.
2010. 2010. 2010. 2010.
2010.
2010. 2010.
2010 is the same amount of stuff. All right, real quick. We're done with the games. No. We'll talk about this. We got 2 weeks before we have to talk about
the Super Bowl. Before you go on, I want to point out to everybody that my man Zell just said 2010 is the same amount of syllables as 2010. Time out.
And then when I use my bed,
I proceeded to count on his hand.
Okay.
2010. 2010.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right.
Are we gonna do picks, or we gonna
make now? You can cut my mic off.
Consider it done. All right, so we're moving on. Is it musical coaches right now in the NFL?
Oh my goodness!
So we're gonna talk. About,
I don't lost.
I guess we'll start with what happened recently.
I don't lost.
Here with
I
Washington. I'm gonna ask the two resident Redskins fans.
I really don't have too much to say about that. Don't think it was the smartest move you can make. I feel like it may have been the only move they could make. I don't like the guy. I mean, his resume doesn't say too much. What are we doing here in DC? Like, what are we doing?
AJ.
I'm baffled by the decision. Like, last week, phone was going crazy. Local reporters trying to find out what's happening. Even this morning, I'm like, man, don't ask me. I don't work for the Redskins. But it's just like, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people talk negatively about Raheem Morris. Man, I've been around that guy so many times, and I've had friends that used to play for him when he was head coach at Tampa. And just with him being here with the Redskins, that was the best move they could have made, because his hands was tied being defensive back coach under Hazlitt. Anybody looks bad under Hazlitt. And they have solid coaches on the team.
How did that dude stay employed for
people think just because you're the defensive back coach, you call whatever coverage back then. You don't. You just teach your guys to understand how to handle situations. You don't call any plays. So I don't know. I mean, this Joe Barry guy, I mean, he got his job in Detroit because that was his father-in-law. Then while he was a coordinator, he had two of the worst defenses in NFL history.
Resume's
and
terrible.
Then people want to say it's lack of talent. I mean, Redskins don't have no talent on defensive side at all.
So what are you
so
doing?
So what the hell you think about to happen next?
Yeah. What are you doing?
So
you can't coach. You don't coach talent there, so you come to no talent here to do the same thing.
It's just
I'm not excited at all.
It's just very confusing because it's way
you
like
your mic's off. Right?
How don't you hire? How don't you hire Wade Phillips or? You know, other more credentialed
people. Were you
okay?
What did you think when, you know, they had Vic here and they let Vic walk out the door and go down to Chicago?
I mean, I think that was up to him. That was his call because there was a report saying that they were ready to make him the highest paid D coordinator in the league.
I heard that too.
So if that's the case, it wasn't about money. It's just who you fit with best. And John Fox's specialty is defense, and he's been around the game, been – very great at it. Maybe it's just something he didn't like Jay's personality.
So he didn't feel that it would be
a great mess for him. So, I mean, he went with the seasoned coach. I mean, think about it. Somebody tells you do you want to work with somebody that's been to Super Bowls and has accolades and has great accomplishments on their resume versus a guy who
still beginning,
you don't even see any type of progression. I don't see no progression in Jay Gruden.
So you're not a Jay fan, huh?
Hell no. I thought it was a bad hire. I mean, at the end of the day, it felt like the Redskins just settled for what was next, and a lot of the hires is being made is just
seems like they're still
settling. I'm about to say
it's offer. Like yeah, it's offer relationships, like, and that's cool. But are you hiring the best person for the job, or just because? Oh, this person worked for me in Tampa.
Man,
consider
that person.
Blah blah blah. Like, you can't move that way, man.
If that person need an interview because you know that person, and that person come in, consider them. But we're literally putting people in a place, and we're taking non-winners and bringing them to a non-winning organization.
And it would be different if Tampa Bay actually played good, like. You can't bring losers into a losing situation.
That makes no sense.
That don't add up. What's going to be the result?
With that being said, I mean, I'm still.
I think it was a great hire, especially if Dallas can still, you know, run over.
I think it was a beautiful hire.
What, it John Barry?
It makes me
Joe Barry. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know his name.
No, he don't. No one does.
It makes me thankful for Don Capers.
Oh wow! My, how that changed. Wow.
Hey, I would take Don Capers.
That's what I'm saying.
Who once had the NFL worst defense in history
for the Glennard Bulldogs 125 B team before I'm taking Barry right now.
All right. On to some of the other coaches. What do y'all think about Kubiak leaving Baltimore's offensive coordinator to go be a head coach of his, you know,
Endeavor.
Former roommates?
With this homie, that's called the plug.
But
man.
Does anybody? That's not the question. Does anybody here think that was actually like a legit good hire?
I don't think it was a good hire. I mean, you know, I represent Tyrod Taylor from Baltimore Ravens, so he worked very hand in hand with Kubiak. He spoke highly of him. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when are these teams going to stop recycling coaches, man? Like Kubiak didn't do anything in Houston. So now, you know, you put him in a situation with Denver where they actually have a solid quarterback. He's gonna win regular season games, but is he going to get you over the hump? Like, that's why I didn't understand the firing of John Fox, because I don't feel like it's coaching. I just feel like it's just not meant to be with the Broncos, because now you change the coach for what reason? Yes. I mean, Peyton Manning is going to run his playbook no matter what, mm-hmm. and Kubiak likes to do the rollouts and play action and all that. Peyton's not doing that. So how does his offensive genius?
Damn place.
Yeah, how does his offensive genius run? You know, how does that fit in the plans of the quarterback? Do you think is going to return next year?
He's got to fit it in where Peyton likes to do.
Yeah,
that.
So it's kind of backwards.
So that's the tricky part about it. Because if you're going to fire John Fox, who just recently got off a Super Bowl, you have to think of who can you hire that's going to do better than that, or even similar to that. And what about Gary Kubiak is going to give you that impression that he can do similar or greater than a Super Bowl loss? Now, yeah, whatever.
I'm giving you your reason. They're former teammates.
Okay, and I understand that. But with that being said, because there's speculation if Peyton Manning is going to come back or not, okay, assuming that he's not Favre, he comes back, at best, we just don't know. We saw Peyton deteriorate for the for the latter part of the season. But what Kubiak does do well, what he does really well, is run that zone game. And what Denver does well historically and last year is run that zone game. So when you have CJ Anderson, if Monte Ball can ever be what we expected Monte Ball to be 2 years ago when he was drafted, if Ronnie Hillman could come back running like he was running for the 6 weeks that he was running and Monte Ball was hurt, like, yo, their running game is going to be dope. And also, let's not forget his bread and butter is a tight end play as well.
All right, so back to AJ's original point. Does that get you over the hump, though?
I mean, it sure as hell makes for a good offense. Look, it sure as hell makes for a good offense right. to take pressure off of Manning.
Right.
So with the zone game, with the tight end, the way he used
Julius Thomas is doing numbers. So
okay, and think what he's going to do with Gary Kubiak. Okay, Gary Kubiak may
He may not even return.
That's what I'm about to say. I got a question.
Julius may not even return.
You might have Denver next year with Peyton and no Thomases.
Okay, and even if that's so, he'll do it with some random Owen Daniels.
Okay, I hear you, but does that get you past Tomlin now?
That's not gonna happen.
It makes you a weaker team,
especially like you
those
said,
are youthful guys.
Where, like, you know, most of the offense is rolling out and everything.
So what you're saying is losing players makes them a weaker team. You just said that losing elite talent, let's take the coach who could capitalize on whoever is at that tight end.
Projected right now, what Broncos, you know, let's say if Peyton returns, they're probably top three team projected next year. Peyton goes away, what do they now become? A projected probably 20 team in the league.
I'll say they will still make the wild card. That's why they went out there and signed.
You say without Peyton?
Yes.
You know, that's why
I have confidence in Brock.
I mean, Brock Oswald. That's why they went and signed those guys like Tlaib and Ware and Sanders.
And with all the money that they paid those guys, if you don't have either Thomas on this team, how does life work? Because defenses aren't going to be treating you differently. You don't have to honor. Like part of the thing that made Denver's offense so crazy is
okay. So
the Thomases open everything up.
Yeah, the two Thomases. Yes, you're right. So one, they're going to hold on to one of them. They're going to franchise one of them. Do you think that they're not? And two, whoever that they don't franchise, you think John Elway is going to leave that void in the draft? Free agency starts in March, right? The draft is in April and May.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it in May now? Late May? No, early May.
Okay.
Early May, yeah.
All I'm saying is those are two top talents. It's going to be really hard to draft two things just like them.
Nobody said you had to draft two. You franchise one. Well, that's the name of the game.
But we don't even know how everything goes because of all the money that you put into that defense. The money that you pay into Lee, who didn't cover people, he's getting broke off. Money that you paid DeMarcus Webb, broke off. T.J. Ward, broke off. So a lot of the stuff, it almost was like they loaded up for 1 year and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like they really went in. They went all in for this year, like revenge. We're going to get Seattle back. Fail. So now I'm looking like.
They didn't even
like,
make it that far.
Right. So now I'm looking like, so what was there a plan B? Because we get to this point. We saw about, well, is Peyton coming back? Nobody would have worried about that if plan A works. Because it doesn't matter if he retires. You accomplish your goal. Mm-hmm. So now we at, oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
They scrambling. See, oh, like boy. They scrambling.
You know. And I'm just interested to see how that works. What do y'all think about Rex Ryan in Buffalo? Was that a huge change? Lateral move?
Lateral move. Probably even worse because it's Buffalo.
Whoa, it's worse for Rex with that D-line?
It's not about the defense. It's about the offense. I mean, if you have the option to join the Falcons with Matt Ryan, two elite receivers,
and
you have a third receiver that's solid, and you could build that defense, and Atlanta is a more attractive place for free agents, why wouldn't you take that job? I mean, you don't go to Buffalo. Nobody wants to go to Buffalo. If I was a player and I got drafted by Buffalo, I'm signing my retirement papers. I'm not going to Buffalo.
All right, so here's the thing. You think Rex didn't just go to Buffalo just on GP because he got fired from...
No, this is why Rex really went to Buffalo. Because, of course, I know y'all seen it, and it's obvious. The Falcons owner, mother, passed away. And instead of being patient to wait for the second interview or the callback, he jumped the gun and was being antsy about it and called Buffalo to get himself in there to make sure, hey, I got this job. All he had to do was be a little bit more patient, and the Falcons would have hired him. But it was him being impatient the reason why he ended up signing with the Bills.
So
Bills
wasn't
his first. Yeah, Bills wasn't his first choice. That's obvious because he wanted the Falcons job before they hired Mike Smith. So it's just – it's just like you just settled for anything. Because, I mean, for all that, he could have stayed out of the league and worked for ESPN or NFL Network. I mean, Buffalo.
He would have been.
I mean, Buffalo, you got a bad quarterback situation. You took E.J. Manuel and Buffalo's Kyle Orton came in.
He didn't even have a quarterback situation.
Now, C.J. Spiller is a free agent. You traded all those picks to get Sammy Watkins. So now, what do you do?
So at worst,
and there's no free agent quarterbacks on the market.
You so got at worst, nobody. He has the 09 Jets.
But that's what we're saying. It's a lateral move. Like you didn't do anything.
You're supposed when you have all these options.
You know what I'm saying?
You're about to go to a better job.
If you got San Fran, Chicago,
if you had a chance to
Atlanta.
Go somewhere where you would have had something you never had.
He could have
never had a good offense.
But look at what Buffalo did. He's a little bit more patient.
Okay, but look at what Buffalo did this year. Didn't Buffalo go 10-6 this year?
Yeah, and it was cute. Yeah.
All right, they went 10-6
mm-hmm.
in a division where the Raiders, I believe, swept everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Raiders did. No, that was the one team that everybody beat was the Raiders at one point. But yeah, like the Buffalo, they're on the verge of the playoffs.
But I'm just saying, like, it's lateral.
Okay, yeah, nobody's arguing that.
So why even do it? Like, why would you turn down somewhere where you could have went somewhere and had a top 10 offense? For once in your life, that you ain't even had to mess with. You ain't even.
Defense is.
You can sprinkle some water on Matt Ryan and them. Not even talk to him all season long.
And even with the defense the whole being season. Said, Rex Ryan plays a 3-4. That defense is running 4-3.
That's a 4-3.
So now you're about to put Mario Williams back at outside linebacker?
Which failed the first time.
And then Marcel Darius or Kevin Williams about to play nose tackle.
And they still got Manny Lawson out there, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't have played 3-4 back in San Fran. And bless his heart, I loved him, but when we switched the 99s out, it was an upgrade.
So it's just, and you got Brandon Spikes.
Which, like, he didn't do too well.
So it's just weird.
Here's the thing. So Rex bread and butter was a 3-4, right? But are we really willing to submit that he can't adjust to his talent?
No,
because he would have done.
No, because his talent's not that versatile. He had more versatile pieces on the Jets. Sheldon Richardson can play whatever. Muhammad Wilkerson can play whatever.
Okay, and that's probably just his preferred style.
No, but that's what
I'm saying. You get a hog at nose guard, you can just rock with the 3-4.
I hear you, but they don't have other 3-4 pieces. Like, every other piece you have in Buffalo is 3-4.
It's the 4-3. You get Brandon Spikes, which is a competent linebacker in the middle. You get Manny Lost. Like, it's a 4-3, and he could just roll with that. Just rock with that. But you get your quarterback that just led you to the 10-6 just retired on a whim.
The whole thing is, as long as Rex has been around, we haven't even seen him dabble with that 43. And that's the only thing that has me kind of like,
yeah.
We haven't even dabbled with that 43. Now, if he had some places where, we saw he was in Baltimore, somebody was hybrid.
Yeah.
That was after he left.
It'll make a little more sense.
I was right about to say, I remember Baltimore was trying out a few
after he left.
Things.
Yeah, but that was after he left.
Nah, that was like in the mid-2000s, bro.
Yeah, that was after Rex was gone.
Where the hell? He went to the Jets in 08, 09.
Yeah, just Marvin Lewis was there. You remember Marvin Lewis was in Baltimore?
In 2010?
There you go again.
But remember the early years, like, Baltimore had a whole bunch of coaches come through there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Rex... Okay, so Rex was there for a minute from the early 2000s to mid 2000s, right?
I don't think
was he there for the Super Bowl, for the first Super Bowl?
Nah, that was Marvin.
The Ravens?
That was Marvin.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. He ain't dabbling the 43. So I love Rex to death. Nah, bruh. We hire you. Every defense we seen you eat in was a 34. I don't know what you, no.
Like I said, why can't other coaches get a chance?
Yo,
stop recycling guys. Like, you can't recycle Rex Ryan to be a head coach, because it's just like he's had all the opportunities in the world to succeed and he hasn't.
Actually,
so
that's wrong.
Take him back down to DC.
I would have hired him. I would have hired him as a defensive coordinator.
Okay, that's wrong.
Or I would have went to Atlanta if I was him.
In the head coach, your main responsibility is to be the leader of men. Yo, those cats. The same way cats flock to Marshawn, like they roll with him. Those cats roll with Rex.
Yeah, they
like
Rex.
I know they like Rex.
They
but
love Rex.
Point being,
he's not a good head coach.
Like, everyone's not a good head coach. Like, I love Rex to death. Brilliant defensive line.
Okay, so you can't lament his GM for all these years, that Tannenbaum.
Yeah, you know I mean, I don't care about any of it. I just don't care. Your head coaching record is your head coaching record.
Yeah,
just like, for instance, Harbaugh's gone. I love him. Bless his heart. Whatever. He's an offensive coach. That offense was for 4 years. It's calling it what it is.
I mean, even,
right or wrong.
Even take Marvin Lewis. He would have been fired.
and bless his heart.
I know he's one of us. All that. You're not about to go 0-6 in the playoffs and you still got a job.
And that's all I'm saying is, like,
because we're never getting over the hump.
And,
especially this day and age. Yeah.
You just keep doing it over. Like, what drastically is about
your
to
fans
change?
Is buying season
tickets
thing, and
your regular
Atlanta tickets.
Thing,
okay, so all right, so I understand that rationale, but how are you expecting him to win with Andy Dalton?
Well, he's the one that picked the
They signed off on the guy.
I mean, he picked the quarterback.
They signed
and
off.
And also,
on him.
If you're the coach, you got to try to change the atmosphere there. Bengals could be better if they wanted to spend money. They don't want to go and they don't want to dabble into free agency.
That's not Marvin Lewis' fault.
That is Marvin Lewis' fault because
he's not the owner. He ain't cashing out.
He has the right to leave that team and not sign an extension. And understand the atmosphere and go get another job.
Why would you?
Why couldn't he get another job?
My thing is, why would
you
stay employed if you?
If Marvin Lewis hit the free market,
who said that he wanted another job? Like, right now, you're lamenting his performance in Cincy.
But your job, you're there. You're putting in all these hours to succeed. If someone isn't giving you the right tools to succeed, you have to change that.
Yeah.
Point blank. And that goes in any situation in life.
That's all I'm saying. Like coaches that have bad GMs, I get it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, because I was just going to point out, there's Joe Philbin.
Look, I hear
there's,
it. That's
the one, Washington coaches.
Hey, look, that's look, that's
like wonderful. All of them.
Look, that's wonderful. But my whole thing is like with Marvin, I'll never give him a pass. Like his pass lasted for me like the second year in Cincy. I was over it. Like, no, bro, you should have been fired. I'm sorry. No, when you were on board with Andy Dalton being selected the quarterback of your team,
and then you paid Andy $100 million.
And that's the other thing. How many other coaches we seen get fired when they hitch their wagons to the wrong quarterback? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Like that's all I'm saying is many coaches. We just got out there
talking about one that has Mark Sanchez tattoo on his arm,
and that's all I'm saying. You hit your wagon to the wrong guy. I don't want to hear it. Like I hear you, but not really. Mm. Like you said it was that guy. You didn't argue with your GM and said, look. If you want him to play, find a new coach. Like, don't tell me the coach has no say in who you hit your wagon
who
to.
Who picked Andy Dalton?
Like, you hit your...
Jay Gruden. He was the main part of that.
Who did we hire? Redskins?
Jay Gruden. Man.
And the circle goes round.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. Redskins frustrated me. I'm about to become a Seahawks fan.
All right, so speaking of the Seahawks, I wanted to touch on something right before we get out. Matter of fact, that was a bad choice of words. I wanted to talk about something right before we get out.
Marshawn? Who cares?
Huh?
That's how he wants to celebrate, let him celebrate.
See, you are.
So? You gonna find him? Find him.
I'm with
him. I just don't care. If you don't want to see him do it, don't let him score.
That's the thing. But all right, so I understand.
You don't want to see him grab his junk when he scores. Stop running away from him when he has the ball.
I honestly think it's the swaggiest thing to do. In the NFL, with everything you can't do in the NFL, I feel like that's the perfect way to score a touchdown.
Middle finger to Goodell. It's the biggest middle finger that you could possibly
stick up.
Okay, hold
on. But at the same token, before the game, there's somebody ejecting him because of the cleats. Not finding him, but ejecting. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think he's dumb because why? Okay, you telling him to hold your junk, but then you got to pay a $50,000 fine?
Or I mean, if he's cool with paying it,
and I can't say he's trying to get attention.
I'm not even sure if he's actually paying the full amount, that full $11,000. Like, the way that they ride for him, the way that they react for him, I'm pretty sure, like, those cats chipping in.
Man, ain't nobody chipping in on your fine. No, sir. So this hold it. You get your check Monday, and it's already deducted. There's nobody saying, hey, let me give you $10,000 to go towards that fine. That's not happening. So,
hey, Marshawn, I'm rocking with
hold
you,
it.
Marshawn.
My whole thing is I want to see if he's back next year.
Well, that's not going to happen. But my whole thing is the interview thing and the way that we choose to lament certain individuals. Like, we're real selective on that, how we choose to be entitled with the way in which we choose, the way in which we pick our athletes and our sports people, like fans, media, you get real entitled on some. We pay to hear you talk. We pay for you to give us more. We want more. Like, that's on some real entitled stuff. And I think you guys need to check yourselves, man. And furthermore, like, when you look at Marshawn, he looks real uncomfortable, like some kind of social anxiety, like what we experienced with Derrick Rose. But we'll see how this week goes.
I want to talk the same thing they said on the Sean Taylor story. How the media do too much to scrutinize and to turn what you say around. I feel Marshawn. I don't want to say nothing either.
I'm totally against that, man. Because at the end of the day, you are your media. You control what you portray out there. Like, I mean, for a guy to sit here and don't want to interview with the media, the local media he sees on a regular basis, but then to do a whole E60.
We can't imagine. That,
you know how long an E60 take? Like, I've been working on one with a client. We finished everything and still they want to film more. You're talking about over a month plus of work, and they're following you for like 8 hours a day. That's just, for some reason, he just doesn't want to do it. I don't know if maybe they think it's a marketing tool or
what.
Like, I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of celebrities out here that make themselves, you know, non-accessible. Maybe that's just what they want to do. The more he's accessible, the more things he says, the less interest there is in him. He's just another running back.
Well, that's usually not how social anxiety works. It usually works, there's different facets of it. So some people are really uncomfortable in the group settings and having like all the attention of 20 different people just right here in front of their face, as opposed to one person and the cameraman. But we'll see how this goes. It's Super Bowl week, so during the next 2 weeks. We'll see. He's all about that action.
You just diagnosed that man with social. I'm
like, it's cool.
You just official.
Well, thank y'all for tuning in. Dr. Rob just diagnosed beast mode.
Get well soon.
We'll be back next week. Get well soon, my show. Well, thank AJ for coming in, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll get you guys same time next week, same place. When you get a chance, always remember, get your mind right and my mind on sports. www.mymindonsports.com.